Happy, happy Q Day, and welcome to A Cumin Perspective. I'm your co-host, Kevin.
And I'm John.
Where we discuss and explore the divine masculine and energy, feminine energies and New Earth insights. We want to thank BBS Radio and Thomas. Thank you, Thomas, for all of his behind-the-scenes engineering, and we wouldn't have a show without him, and he is so awesome. So is BBS Radio.
Absolutely incredible guys. Great talent. Yes, welcome everyone to A Cumin Perspective. As you know, our goal is to bring interesting content, ideas, and laughter as we explore the divine energies. And today, of course, we have two beautiful guests coming up here and to help us explore the divine feminine. And they are two lovely beings of light, which I'm sure you all know them, but if not, you'll get to know them shortly.
That's right, John. I am so excited and happy today, because this is a very special day and a first for A Cumin Perspective. We have our very first guest on the show that represent the feminine energies so perfectly and complements our masculine energies as well. I am so pleased to introduce to our listeners Lauren and Zosia, co-hosts of Unstoppable Love. Ladies, welcome to A Cumin Perspective.
Wow, so beautiful.
That's so beautiful.
The crowd goes wild.
Well, you ladies, you're the pioneers. You're the first ones on board, you know, with the Cumin, or with the Q drive, so to speak, and divine energies. So, your program, I think, was the first one, wasn't it, to start with exploring Q stuff. Is that right, ladies? Or
go ahead, Lauren.
First off, it's just an honor to be here with my brothers. It's just an honor. And I'm so excited to be here. Johnny, I think it was Sunshine, Whiplash Talk. I think started it. Okay. And then Robin's show, the Awakening Wave show, and they inspired me to start Unstoppable Love, and then Zosia just graciously joined me, and isn't it fun?
It is, yeah. So you ladies are the first from one of our chat groups, I think, one of the groups we're into that were the first breakaway from that, and now we're all getting on board the Q train.
So John, John, before we get really ahead of ourselves, I want to have a toast. Okay. All right. Can we have a toast?
Absolutely.
Ladies, do you have your wine? Well, it's a little too early for wine glasses, but perhaps water glasses or something.
Got my yummy water.
Yummy water. All right. Mm-hmm. John Boy, we've got our I've got my water this morning.
I've got a chocolate mint tea.
Okay.
Ooh,
all right.
Yummy.
All right. So raise a glass to the boundless duality within us, a balance so profound it defies the boundaries of definition. To the masculine, steadfast, driving, and resolute, carving paths through the uncharted wilds of our lives. And to the feminine, intuitive, nurturing, and tender, weaving threads of meaning into the fabric of existence. Together, they form the unique alchemy that defines us, a sacred dance of energies eternally entwined. Wow. Salute, everybody.
Cheers.
Salute. Cheers.
Cheers.
That was beautiful, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin, yeah. I love that.
Thank
so
you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I have to admit, I had a little help with it. This day and age. I'm not sure if I could have so eloquently written that myself, but anyway, I wanted to provide a toast.
We find inspiration everywhere.
Right? Yes.
We find inspiration everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. In this program, as we all know, we try to define the masculine and feminine energies and stuff. And of course, New Earth insights. And so I thought maybe it would be appropriate for us to begin a topic or discussion today based on future relationships. You know, I always enjoy dreaming or visualizing in my own personal world. What is it going to be like? Well, How is my environment going to look like? How am I going to be associating with people, having and creating relationships in my life in the future? And when I say future, I don't mean 10, 20 years. Perhaps I actually mean maybe by next year or 2 years, because the world is changing rapidly. I mean, super. I mean, Q says, well, there's no sense of time, no things such as time. However, it seems like everything is speeding up rapidly. Months seem like weeks, and weeks just seems like a day. And so I thought maybe it would be good just to explore and talk about the future relationships. How are men and women going to associate? I know I listened to your show last week, guys, and Zosia, you brought up a interesting concept I really loved. It was the Celtic concept of Anamkara. Remember that? And you were talking about soulmate and soul friends, and I just kind of wanted to explore that a little bit more. I feel that we all will be moving toward that direction in relationships soon. How do you feel about that, Zosia? Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. That's what, thank you, Kevin. First of all, I didn't get to say it at the beginning, but Kevin and John, two beautiful, heart-centered men. I'm distracted by their attractiveness because they're on video. We're not used to video, so thanks, guys. It's an extra treat today.
Well, thank
It's
you
an
so much.
honor to be here. I love you both. And Kevin, yeah, thank you for that because that term came to me. Obviously, everything is synchronistic a while back, and then it popped up to me again synchronistically on the last show, but. It resonated so deeply to the point that you're speaking about future relationships. To me, the concept makes me go within and really ponder if I'm with someone, just say it with you guys right now, what is this relationship like? Why am I here? I'm here to connect with you both, to feel you both with Lauren as well, to feel you and grow and be present with you both to what are we all feeling at this moment, and just to go within and contemplate a relationship. I hadn't done it in the past. Instinctively I did it perhaps, but I hadn't really spent time really devoting myself. What do I want from this relationship? And then communicating it with the other male, female, 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 friends and whatnot. So to me, it's deeply profound, and I feel you definitely connected it to future relationships. That's beautiful. What did you get from it?
I see. I also see that it's a mode for connecting deeply, especially within heart-to-heart communication. I think it's going to take us a while to actually learn how to do that. Specifically, when we are communicating with the quote-unquote stranger on the street, usually we connect at that level, in a heart-to-heart level, if you will, which is pretty intimate. At least we think it is, because this is kind of new to us, to try to express ourselves intimately through a heart-to-heart connection. And to do it with a stranger would feel kind of uncomfortable,
Little
and I think
vulnerable.
vulnerable. Yes, and we're going to have to kind of learn how to do that, I think. I think it will be certain individuals on the street, the stranger, that will allow us to communicate that way, while others will not. They'll look at us like, you are different. Let me just put it that way. I'm going to stay away from you.
Aren't you used to that
Yeah.
by
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I thought it was absolutely beautiful for say Anamkara, as far as being a soulmate or a soul friend. So, and I think that we will eventually get there as a society, that we will all basically stop and place our hands to our heart, maybe a little bow respectively to each other, look in each other's eyes, and treat each other with sovereign respect. and soft spoken tones, laughing, of course, and showing your true deep emotions from within and being authentic, and just that kind of childlike giddiness, but yet, you know, being able to communicate on a mature level. So that's kind of what it represented to me. That's what I visualized when I was listening to you on your program, talking about this Celtic concept. And so I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, Kevin, I'd like to pop in here and say something about that too. What I
Absolutely.
noticed a lot, and it could be the fact that we are exercising the information and direction that Q and Mermaid have given us, but when you're out in public and you're coming from the heart, speaking from the heart, even when there's a situation where someone's having a bad day, it may be a cashier or something like that, and they may be a little rude or just standoffish for any particular reason. And the moment you respond from your heart and in a caring point of view and a real authentic way, it seems to change the dynamic of the entire conversation and the entire atmosphere. And I think that's got to do with being higher vibrational too, and it the kind of it's a stronger vibration than the lower vibration, so it takes precedence and takes over. But I have noticed a big change out there when I'm dealing with the general public. So I will say that, and it could be, it's some of me too, because I have learned we are all different people today than we were a year ago. And I would say that that I'm noticing a difference. How about you ladies? Have you noticed anything, any experiences with strangers or whatever, that it's a little different than it had been in terms of, of communications with them?
I'll take that one. Zosia, is that okay?
Of course.
So actually, yeah, Johnny and Kevin, this morning, a perfect example. I had to run to the store really quick to get something, and the woman, greeted me, and I made, I stopped before I said, "Oh, I need help with this." And how are you? How are you? And she just looked at me. She's like, "I'm great." And it really does. It just changes the dynamic. It creates a space of love.
It does,
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me
Oh
now?
yeah. Oh
Okay.
yeah.
And I would say doing that, it does. It changes everything versus I can use this as an example, and I'm sure Kevin, you'll agree. As a nurse, they taught us about communication in nursing school, closed-ended, open-ended, verbal cues, all this. And I remember working as a nurse, so many times you'd see different, disciplines or services, people come by and stop in, and patient X, it was just so sterile, so cold, and just it was empty, right? And I get it. They were in a hurry, and I get it. But I always made sure when I was working with my patients to just, I see you as you. I want to know what do you like to do? I really engaged because, it's very different when you're in that situation. So I would just look at them. In that aspect versus just the patient, I really love to feel. And once that connection and that rapport was established, it just seemed like it was very easy to connect, and they felt comfortable to share and be open. So that's just one example for me.
Yeah, Lauren, I certainly identify with that because in nursing, especially in nursing, we are allowed to touch our patient, basically. They, you know what I mean? I can recall or remember that whenever I go to the bedside of my patient. Now, again, I worked hospice and palliative care, and so I was able to sit down and actually grab their hand, hold their hand, and talk to them, and you know, try to establish that kind of contact with them, and so that we could both communicate openly. Of course, the patient, might have had some concerns, and we talk about it and stuff. But what I'm trying to say is, I was a blessed to be able to actually have physical contact with my patient and hold their hand and talk. Now, out when you just expressed your grocery store experience or your outing experience, and you asked that person, "How are you?" And the way you said it, it was actually like a laser beam. You focused right in on that person, and there were no other distractions. You were focused on that person, and you said, "How are you?" And they felt that, and that was like, and it took them aback. I'm sure it did, because in this busy world that we're in, everybody's got their noses to the phone. Everybody is there, looking outside of themselves constantly. And I think it was a shock to that person that someone else cared so much to ask in that way. And I think the more that we can show that to people, and be the way showers in how to properly communicate, if you will, with each other in a caring manner, hopefully that will spread and spread. And I loved your example, Lauren. Thank you very much for
Yeah,
sharing.
it was very good. Kevin, when you talked about a patient and touching their hand and really getting that heartfelt, even your spirits, perhaps our Merkabas mixing, and it brought me to about that story that I had told, I think a couple of shows back. I don't know, did you guys hear that story about my experience with feeding my children?
Yes,
When you
both of
did.
your
Oh, yeah.
stories, breastfeeding story, yes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't
No,
breastfeed
of course not.
you got something to tell us, Johnny?
Yeah, are you very special, John?
Well, I wanted to say it kind of now here's a situation where they don't have words, right? This is a baby, they don't have any language. And so the first couple of nights that I would try to feed him, he would he'd be squirming and cranking, almost a little colicky and so on. But when I figured out to lay my fingers on his cheek, everything changed, the communication, everything. And so I mean, I think that's a good example of the heart center that our energies mixing in, and the fact that the child could feel my energy and my intentions, and it made them so comfortable and even overjoyed, you know. So yeah, I just wanted to add that in there, because when you talked about touching the patient's hand, holding her hand, I can see that that was obviously evident with my feeding experience, you know, the babies.
Absolutely.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
Yes.
okay. I was cut out again.
Oh.
It was just at a segue. May I jump in at this moment
Of
to say
course.
something? Okay. What you're all describing to me is so beautiful, because I feel like it's that word presence, holding presence, whether you're with the baby, you're with the cashier, or your patients, right? And when we're in our heart, that's source. So the beauty of, to me, that's the bottom line of what Q shares, is that finding that peace within to be able to be present to ourselves, then we're present to others and have those beautiful examples that you all shared. And I've observed with me, if I have that noise and chatter in my head, I can't be present. The other stuff takes precedence. You know, so I observe, oh, I wasn't in that place today. Therefore, the interaction wasn't as peaceful. When just like you said, Kevin, when you slow down and you're present, we bring all of that, that just changes the world. It changes, of course, it's so rare, like you described with a person receiving that, or your grandchild, John, receiving that. You just feel it. Someone is with you. To me, that's healing, incredibly
Absolutely.
healing.
Absolutely. And as I've mentioned with my youngest guy, he would look for that energy later on. He would come around, you know, when he was 3 years old, and reach out and just want to have that comfort of I believe our energies exchanging, being together.
Oh, beautiful. It is
Yeah.
beautiful. The light, touching the light. It's the light touching the light.
You know that.
Kind of reminds me of.
Go ahead, Kat.
No, go ahead, John. You had a thought. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna knock it off topic, but just put another spin on it here that I don't know. Have you ladies heard of the 100th monkey effect?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the story behind that, where the monkeys had, I think there were snow monkeys in island off of Japan, and they had learned to wash their sweet potatoes of the dirt that would be on them. They were dropped in by planes or whatever to feed these monkeys. And so they were doing it on several islands. And then eventually, after enough monkeys on one island learned to wash them, and they learned from one monkey that just decided to do that, had the intelligence to do that. After enough of them washed their potatoes, this idea spread throughout the other islands. Even though the monkeys, they were miles and miles apart from each other, they got this idea and they started doing this. So it's obviously in the frequency. And so I'm wondering, even with us, obviously it's the same thing. So as more of us spin up more, and then we talk to the cashier, we enlighten her for a while, we probably make her day or help her to stay spun up for a while. But after a while, I'm wondering if there's going to be this big flash, and that we are the flash kind of deal, if you don't mind me saying that. But that this energy and this transfer of love and peace just automatically happens, and then everyone is kind of elevated. What do you think about that?
Agreed. And like a match in a matchbook, you just light one and they all ignite. 100% agree with you. I feel that's what's always so exciting. Even with Q not being public with us right now, look at all the wealth of knowledge he's left with us. And it's really the simple part that's the hardest part, going within peace. Yes, I agree. And we're here. We are part of the team and we are here to do our work and spread the light
That's right. That's
just by
right,
being
Sasha.
ourselves.
And can I add this? So I noticed that, obviously, Q says just go within. When you have a presence within yourself, that's peace. That's peace. So when we have that within ourselves, and we don't have all these distractions, right? And we're doing the inner work, we're doing our commands, we're visualizing, we're doing this inner work, it's just a ripple. It's just a ripple effect, and other people will see it and they're like, oh gosh, I just feel so good when I'm around you. What's your secret? Right. And it's so simple, like what Q tells us, go within. And I agree with you, Johnny. It's I think people are searching. They know something out there is so much better than bill of goods that we've been presented with, if you will, but they just don't know what it is. Right, but there's that was my story. But yeah, I love that. I love that example and just the peace. It's free. It's the highest currency. Our life force energy is the highest currency, and it's peace. And it's just
Right.
so when we do that, it's going to be a mirror, to others, if they choose to be able to
Yeah.
do it for themselves. And now I get why Q was so was talking doing the homesteading, right? Because if Can you imagine
Absolutely.
once you get on your own land, you don't have to go to the store for anything, and it really all you do is take care of the your animals, the plants, and be at one with the earth. It's just, I mean, it's just that's peace.
Yeah.
And the 20 would help. The 20, of course, the 20 with you too, and the people that you love. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think there's a soul here on this earth, unless they're evil, that doesn't want to have a nice day and be happy. That's what everybody wants, and be carefree and have no worries. And so, yeah, I think it's good that we, be as kind and gentle as we can wherever we go. And dealing with people, because I think it does spin things up really quickly. And yeah, I think that's actually the mission, is to show people that we don't have to be down in 3D. That they don't realize that, but as we're going around, that they're going to want to be a part of what we're being a part of. Now I put in gardens, ladies. I don't know if you know that or not. I put in two good sized gardens. They're in different areas where there's different biospheres, if you like. One's a little shady and damp, the other area is hot and dry. And I was thinking of that yesterday. I was planting, and I was thinking, gee, You don't have any worries about eating or healthy food because you're providing it. Well, I'm not providing it. Creation is, God is, but it's so simple to do. And you watch it grow. It's so rewarding. And watching this little plant that was a seed in the ground break through, you see the ground crack first, and then this plant starts to come through the ground. And then months of it getting larger, and the next thing you know, it's providing you extremely healthy food that's not contaminated with anything. You used to be able to go to the grocery store and stay on the outskirts of the grocery store. You can't even do that now. Most of that food,
No.
whether it's animal matter or, which I really don't vibrate well with anymore, but or vegetation and fruit, it's compromised in some way. And now we know from the Anastasia series, even if it was perfectly clean food, it doesn't have the energetics that your body requires because you need to make that relationship with that food. And then you ingest it, and the food becomes your twinny kind of deal. Or it and
I
it
love
makes it.
that.
Yeah, no, I had no idea of it. These Anastasia books, man, oh man, the what's it, Ringing
Beautiful.
Cedars, I guess.
The
It's
Ringing Cedars.
incredible the information in there. I mean, we could make a program and it'd probably last a year just talking about that information and putting it into play. And it's exactly what just about every show boils down to is this information and information that we've lost and about your heart center. When everything goes to the heart center and you operate from your heart center, it all just falls into place. Things that are even rotten in your life or might come in, there might be a bad situation happen. It might be in the traffic where somebody thinks you've done the wrong thing and they're giving you the finger and all that. It doesn't bother you anymore. You just move along and you feel bad that they did that. You feel, oh, gee, too bad their day is so bad or their direction is so messed up that they feel they had to do that to make themselves feel better, but they probably don't because they're still mad all the way down the road, maybe for 3 more days.
And
So,
that's their beautiful journey to find themselves. I always look at it
right.
that way. But you're describing that neutrality, in that space, John. It's beautiful. And the Anastasia books, I feel just as you're describing, the consciousness of Anastasia just floods through that book. That, to be in present to me of what I've observed there, to read her, to feel her words, you could feel someone's heart through the words. This is like another level as well. We don't have to connect necessarily in a body form. You can still connect while reading or listening, just like now. It's so powerful. So powerful.
You're so right about that, Zosia. The peacefulness and the love that you can feel through the words of that book, through Anastasia, it's exactly the same as what we receive, or at least for me, what I receive from Q when
Yes.
listening to him and his direction.
And listening to you guys. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, Jesus. John, I enjoyed the explanation when you talked about your garden and planting and watching it grow and stuff, and then you brought in Anastasia. And I like their concept of making the fruits, vegetables, the food basically part of you. And what I really enjoyed was when they said that they placed the seeds in their mouth and allowed the saliva to interact with the seeds, which would make it like a DNA compatibility, right? And so the food would actually serve your body personally. I always thought that was an awesome concept to do. I kind of looked though, boy, what if they're like carrots? Carrot seeds are like tiny little bitty dots, I don't know if a Yeah, it's kind of hard to. I'll
a
tell you what I
mouthful of
did.
seeds.
I have done that with some of my seeds, Kevin. I have done that before planting.
Or the avocado seed, the great big seed you have, you don't boom, make your mouth try.
That's so
Like the
funny,
squirrel in the
Kevin.
backyard
Backyard with nuts in his cheek.
Yeah, you look at him, he looks like a chipmunk. Hey, what are you doing? The
Oh, the
Well,
visual, Kevin, the
you won't look so funny when we're all doing it,
visual.
Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny.
Dear. Lauren, you mentioned about 20 earlier, and of course I know that's a favorite topic a lot of people like to explore and enjoy talking about. And
It reminds me of an old movie that I remember seeing back in 1985 called Cocoon. I don't know, it might take people way back who have seen it, but there was a particular scene in the swimming pool between the female off-worlder and the main character. I think it was Steve Guttenberg. And Steve was hot for the young lady, and she and both of them were in the swimming pool, and so she basically showed him what it's like to have extreme high frequency intimacy. And I think you guys remember that movie? You remember seeing
Yes. Yes, I rewatched it recently. What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. And I see that as a way that we will, when we get into a more intimate situation with each other, that I see that is how it's going to transpire, really. Now, in the movie, the young lady basically energizes her life force. Her life force becomes visible and you can see it. She's glowing, and then all of a sudden it shoots out of her body and then kind of pings off of the walls back and forth. Now, of course, that's Hollywood, I think, but my vision is more of a complete tunnel from heart to heart, like a tubular connection of energy. And in a way, the more you more closer each of them get to each other, the energy increases to where, let's say, if they're chest to chest, then oh my goodness, it's like extreme bliss kind of exchange. That's kind of my vision of how it could be when two people are extremely intimate and in love with each other. Your thoughts about that?
Well,
Anything more?
in the Anastasia books, they she's Anastasia has an experience with Vladimir, and it's kind of around that same thing, Kevin. And when they actually procreate and have a child, and he well obviously would like to be with this girl immediately because he's mechanical. Now we've been manipulated in our DNA and so on, but she doesn't allow that to happen and allows time to go by. And through her teachings, he understands more and gets more clear in his thought. And I think his Merkaba starts to spin up properly and more closely with hers. And then they both get on the same wavelength of what they want to do in terms of ideas of parenting a child or creating a child. And they know they want it to be a boy and all these other things. And so then they have that experience you're talking about that was kind of beyond a physical sexual experience, even though it was part of it. But there was this other experience that that this Vladimir talks about that was unlike any experience he's ever had in his life, and it goes into more detail. I won't give all the information away because people might be out there wanting to read these books, but it explains exactly what you're talking about there, Kevin. And I think myself, or believe, not think, I know this for it's in my heart. I can feel it that we have been basically mechanically manipulated in our DNA. Both male and female, to drive us away from that heart center and away from the ability to procreate with and from our hearts and with our Merkabas. So, as males just want a mechanical thing, and then ladies would like to have the other end of it. You see, this is all part of how they've manipulated the heck out of us, and it really comes to fruition in those books. You can really see what it should have been. Or closer to what we should have had for an experience and how we would have created our offspring, not just a shot in the dark and do we get a male, a female, do we, what's their personality is going to be like, and so on. It's all kind of like a recipe that you start out with, and it's about being heart-centered and being aware of how things work in this, if you would be in the divine world and the divine energies. And a lot of our problems are course, created by the evil that have manipulated the devil out of us. How do you feel with that, ladies?
Lauren.
Kevin, I'm so thankful that you sent that clip to me because I remember, I mean, I was what? I was born in, I was like two or three when that movie came out. So I remember seeing it. I don't know, maybe my parents were watching it. Anyways, I hadn't watched it fully until a couple nights ago, and I found it online. It was kind of hard to find it. Well,
Very.
I wonder why. It's disclosure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's disclosure, but as I'm watching the movie, I just started tearing up and crying because it gave me the visual of what Q and Mermaid have been telling us and teaching us. So for me, that scene in the pool with Steve and her name is Kitty in the movie, I just felt it was a great visual. As you said, Johnny, we're just epigenetically programmed, the men and the women too. We all are, to go for the physical right away, and that's what happens in a lot of relationships, myself included. That lust, the outer stuff, and you rush into, becoming intimate, physically intimate with someone. And then you get to the a year or two later, and you're like, "Well, I'm thinking, what am I doing here?" Because it was all backwards. So I loved how they showed that visual in the movie, and just, I mean, so you have that piece right now. Now, guys, put into that, and Anastasia also gives an example of this too in her book about the birthing process. So you have. You have two beings, you say your 20s, come together, co-create together, merge together, and then that now, how about the birthing process when you have a dolphin-assisted birthing, right? Or as Anastasia does in the movie when she's in nature, and she, out in the forest, giving birth, and it's so beautiful. So I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I make it a point, kind of going sideways here, but I make it a point when I go out and talk to people, especially pregnant women, I throw out the dolphin-assisted birthing. And then I tell them, oh, did you know that the man who studied these individuals, he followed them for many years, and just telling them, what happened to these individuals who had the dolphin-assisted birthing. Their IQs were through the roof. They were emotionally stable. They were less argumentative. Their physicality was so much stronger. So it's amazing to me, how everything has been pushed, everything's been pushed down our throats, so to speak, in the programming. So sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there. Zosia, what do you
Oh
feel?
yeah, no, I enjoyed listening. I felt in that scene too, again, it was a beautiful visual of our light when we peel off this meat suit, which I'm sorry for that visual, but who are we really? How do we feel with our hearts? It has nothing to, for me, it has nothing to do with the flesh of my body. It's that light within me that I recognize. Feels each of you, feels others. So for me, it's that visual of the light, my light merging with my partner's light or a friend's light. It like again, it we are light. We are full of light. So when we merge with each other, I've had that experience. There are no words for it. It's just the most blissful experience that I've had, and this is with someone I wasn't physically connected to, so to say. And on another side, I've had an experience of one time, well, many, okay, I'll just say one time I had an experience where I really was yearning for my partner. Where are you? Talking, because I re remember Mermaid saying to someone, a lady said she had her twin flame years ago, and she said, no, keep reaching out, keep reaching out. So at some point, I'm just reaching out. Where is my other half, essentially? That makes me, I'm complete in myself. I don't have to have it, but I desire it. And when I did that, oh my gosh, I felt the most immense, I couldn't even put words to it, incredible cellular infusion of love like I have never experienced before. Now, I was not physically with anyone. But it was the most intimate and the most profound experience I have ever felt. And that's possible just by myself.
And Q would say that's how I live all the time,
Yeah,
right?
exactly, Kevin. And remember, guys, too, remember he said, for a visual that he and mermaid, okay, not to say it's a quilt, but if they were lying in bed, their spirits could merge. Just so that visual of just being together or not being together and being able to do it, that's where we're going. That's if I can do
Right.
that and connect with my other half in my own space and feel that profound love, safety, every feeling you could desire, all of it was there. And
Right.
so that visual is so great. If like that movie you're mentioning, it's great to see it. And he had a funny comment at the end of that feeling, right? If this is foreplay, I'll have more of that or something like that, right?
He said, "If this is foreplay, I'm a dead man." That's what
Exactly. So having my experience and then watching that, I'm like, I know what he means on a whole other level. So.
Well, right now we've been, if you think about it, throughout history, we've been procreating with two different basically frequencies between two people. So you can imagine how chaotic it must be for the spirit, for that energy to come in that kind of union. You know, I liken it to like maybe if you have two radios on your table and you have them tuned to different stations, how chaotic that would be and frustrating. And then you put them on the same station, and then you have stereo and bliss,
Beautiful
and it just,
visual.
yeah, right. Yeah, so that's how I kind of see that.
Well, that movie is hard to find. It is because it's one of the only movies I've noticed that it depicts the off-worlders as benevolent. And because a lot of the movies nowadays, they're trying to kill us, they're trying to take over the world. The here's the invasion. It's always that
Fear,
point
fear,
of
fear.
view.
Great point.
Fear, 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 right? But Cocoon was just the opposite. It was showing us love from an off-worlder's perspective, and also, as you said, Lauren, it is soft disclosure of how we can become, of what we can become, you know. And so I thought it was a perfect example of showing, you know, love for another species. And of course, in the movie, the humans did not realize that they were stealing the life force from the cocoon in the swimming pool. They were just feeling super great. Wow, I feel better than ever, you know, and they just didn't realize what they were doing, you know, which is unfortunate. And then we later on know what happened. But it was a beautiful mu movie, and I would encourage anyone, any listener out there, if you haven't seen Cocoon, the 1985 version, please, I encourage you to do so. It's a beautiful movie. They also had a sequel to it, Cocoon, The Return, I think. It didn't get a lot of good reviews, but still. Anyway.
Kevin, can I jump in one second?
Sure. Please,
Also,
please
what you
go ahead.
said about disclosure, the part that stood out to me as well is the Brian Dennehy character. They're coming back felt familiar to me, and it likened to me the story of EBE and Errol, and they're coming back for the rest that were left here. So, disclosure in another way. That's just what came to me. They're coming to say. This is a rescue mission, Q mentioned. Well, thank goodness, Q,
Oh
thank
yeah.
coming
Q
back
and
for us.
Mermaid. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right?
Absolutely.
And Brian Dennehy, I kept looking. I'm like, this is just interesting, really interesting. Yeah, so disclosure for sure. There's so on so many levels, on so many levels. And thank you for bringing up the friendliness of them. You're so right to point that out.
And I will say, Zosha, like I started crying when they first opened that one cocoon and that light being, and it just came out, and I just started crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, like it just hit me. This is pure love. This is neutrality. This is peace. This is unconditional love. This is joy. This is, and to separate spirit from physicality and what that really means, you know, it really just hit me.
Right
So,
on.
yeah, it's beautiful.
Beautiful, Lauren.
You know, it's absolutely amazing how Q has put this all together and his team that for years that doing these different disclosures through movies and songs and all this, and then bringing it all together here now in this time. And now we can all go back and watch these movies, listen to these songs again for the first time in a total
Exactly.
different perspective. And it's just amazing. The other night I watched Matrix, and it was an entirely different show now.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Your perspective changed, didn't it? Very much so.
It does. And you know, it's hard on some of these shows and some of these songs, because we're coming from our heart center now and the knowledge we have, it's hard not to get sentimental and broke up about them. You know, and some of them, the scenes, whatever, they really choke me up. Now, and especially when you think of what Q and Mermaid have both gone through for us. It's just incredible to me. I'm grateful every day. Have you guys ever heard a song called Grateful by a he's a high spiritual singer. His name is Saint Finnegan. Just
Can hum a thing? I was just a song came to me. I don't know if that's it by the name Saint Finnegan. I am grateful. Is that the song?
that's the one.
Yeah. Oh.
And what a nice song it is. And every
Yeah.
time I hear it, it really chokes me up, the whole thing. And yeah, he's quite a good performer, quite an artist, that guy.
Agreed. Very beautiful. Speaking of songs, the other day, I was talking to Q. I was like, Q, where are you? And you know what song came up? The song by Simple Minds, Alive and Kicking. I smiled and said,
Q's absence is showing me how much I love him, how much I miss him.
Exactly.
We're always saying, "Where are you, Q?" And we try to figure out, well, he's probably very busy, and of course he always is, and that's his purpose for being here, to be busy. And it's amazing that he has, time to be here with BBS Radio and all of us and stuff. But I see it as a patience thing within myself, going within and just be patient. He's always here. He's always around us. I could at any moment, anytime, talk to Q verbally. Hey, Q, how you doing? And just like you said, Lauren. So it's he's okay. Nothing's bad's going to happen to him, and he's even told us he's been out of body numerous times. So it's like it's nothing to him. He'll just be right back, right? So
That's right.
to us, that's like, oh my gosh, yeah, because we're kind of fearful of death and thinking we won't be coming back, kind of thing. It's that stigma type of thing. But in reality, that's not true. But in I see it as a small little test, and he's been gone a while before in the, so, and he will be back. I don't see Q as just stopping cold turkey and not coming back to us and saying, so I just
It's all
kind of put
part of the
it is part of the
plan.
plan, and so I'm just going to take it as it is and just be peaceful within myself and know that Q will be back. So
And keep in mind, there is no time or space. So we're still
no, there's
stuck down here in this low vibrational field that we see time or feel time, but it's really an illusion. And I look all around me. You look at the great positive things happening in the last few weeks since he's been missing all around the world. I see them everywhere.
Agreed, John.
Agreed. Yeah.
And we all get to reflect on ourselves, the beauty of this, I feel, is part of perfect. Everything is strategic, he has told us too. And I'm sure even the time that he was going to take this break, he was aware of. It lets us get to reflect, just as you're both describing, outwardly and inwardly. He's left so much. A lot of this very similar messages of going within, and we all get to check ourselves. Are we doing that? Oh, am I in perfect? Oh, did I check that? We can re-listen and he'll come back. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is true.
So, John, what do you think? Any sad jokes? I know.
Do girls want to be part of
Let's play.
Let's play. All right.
I can
Now,
tell my mermaid joke. Go ahead.
yeah. Okay. Let's start
Okay,
with
because I remember two jokes, and that's one of
that
them. What does a mermaid wash her tail with? Oh, you got him stumped, Zosia.
seaweed? I don't know.
You want me to say it, John?
The shore? Go ahead. Sure.
Tide.
That's right.
Tied.
Family friendly.
John, you got one?
I got one. I've got one about four little baby bulls. They're just growing up on the farm. And one little bull says to the other guy, he said, "I know just what I want to be when I grow up." He said, "What's that?" He said, "I want to be a Rome Papa bull." He said, "Wow, that's cool." He said, "I want to be a bull on Wall Street." The other little guy said, "I'd rather be a bull in a China store." The third guy is just standing there, and they said, "Well, what about you?" He said, "Nah, I'll just stay here for heifer and heifer and heifer."
That's jokes. I don't have any jokes.
That's okay, Lauren. So, boobs.
Woohoo.
Boobs.
So they're spinning galaxies. Yes.
Absolute irrefutable proof that a man can, in fact, concentrate on two things at the same time. And multitask,
You know, Kevin, one of the things I used to say to girls that had smaller boobs, I'd say, "You know, I can make your boobs look bigger." And they'd say, "How's that?" I'd say, "I got small hands."
sure. Yeah. You know, John, my wife and I were at a couples counseling meeting, and the speaker mentioned that couples are so disconnected that 85% of the husbands don't even know their wives' favorite flower. And I turned to my wife and whispered, "It's self-rising, isn't it?" Well,
Well, I don't know if it's a joke or not, but I remember, you remember the five love languages? Do you remember anything about the five love languages? Acts of service, physical touch, like
Okay.
your partner's love language. So I remember watching something one time when the lady was like, "So if I iron your shirt, you're gonna love me?" I thought that was so funny. Was so funny.
Hey, ladies, I got one about a dentist. This lady goes into the dentist for a checkup, and he checking her. He said, "Listen," he said, "I know why you've got a toothache." He said, "And I can see it's damaged." She said, "He said beyond repair, and I'm going to have to pull it." She says, "Oh no," she said, "I think I'd rather have a baby than have a tooth pulled." He said, "Well, make up your mind so I know which way to adjust this chair."
My wife sat down next to me as I was flipping through the channels, and she asked, "What's on TV?" I said, "Dust." And that's when the fight started. Anyway.
I've had so much fun with
So
you. This has been
fun.
so amazing. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for inviting us on your show. I'm so excited for you too. Y'all are awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
You are real. Oh, I said this beforehand, not on the air. You both are doing really such a beautiful job. You're so peaceful, so
Don't use those
calm,
words.
like such a presence, and it's just relaxing, just to hang out with you guys. It's so cool. I don't mean just even today, but just listening to you. I loved your show last week and your stories. Really, very heart-centered sharing of the connections with your grandchildren and your stories of being a nurse, Kevin. That's just it. That's what feels kind of simple, just sharing your story and someone gets to see something in themselves in you guys and us, Lauren. It's really simply profound.
Oh, thank you
Oh,
guys.
thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Very nice, kind words. Thank you.
Yes, and so it's actually my children, not my grandkids,
Oh,
my children.
absolutely. Sorry. Yeah, I
Yeah.
paid attention.
And well, it's all of us finding each other, and now the encouragement for each other, and we're ex just exploring and realizing, we're what we really want to do and what really makes us happy. And so, through finding each other, that's really been the great advancement for myself to and encouragement to do things. And yeah, we're just doing what we're, I guess, what we want to do, what we're here to do, or what we feel we are.
Absolutely. I can't wait until Q does get back, and especially later on in the future when all of this is said and done and we're all in a beautiful world and no more evil in the world. When we all get together with Q and we can have that barbecue, and Sweet Cheeks Q will be there with us.
Perfect way to end the show. Cheeks, we've all got our coffee orders ready, Q.
But you got to stop over at the Happy Hussy Hut for a
That's right.
spice smoothie.
That's
Guys,
right. Does it do you ever stop and ponder and think about, gee, how is this possible that we're all around the world and we've all found each other and reunited this way? And here we are, so many of us from all different corners of the world. To me, it's quite profound. It's amazing to me that this has happened.
It's kind of like the clip of that movie with all that energy swirling around. I feel like when Q came in and a few and others, mermaid and others came in and infused that planet with light, we're all like, woo. All of our Merkabas were like, yay. Let's
Yeah,
get
right.
together. We like magnets. We
And you
feel
can
it.
feel it.
I can't wait for the comedy tour. Sorry, John.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, guys. This has been awesome. We are running out of time. We've got probably less than 1 minute left. So, again, I wanted to thank Zosia and Lauren from Unstoppable Love for being here with us. We have felt the love from you guys, and we certainly
Yes.
appreciate you. And, of course, you guys are up next, right? So,
Oh,
just
right.
keep on trucking.
Are we up
And
next? Are we up
no,
next? Oh, that's
no,
Sojourn.
no,
So
no.
we're
Yeah.
Oh, that's Sojourn. Okay. Oh,
we're at
sorry.
the late. No, we're up later. We are up
You're.
today. Will it be up before PRQ? Just
Oh,
before
okay. There we go.
PRQ. So join us there.
I just wanted to pump that adrenaline into you guys, thinking,
Yeah,
"Oh
we'd love.
God,
Thank you.
what
Thank you. We love you guys. We
We
love you
love
guys.
you
Thank
so
you.
much. Thanks,
Thank
and we love
you.
having you
Too.
guys on the program. This has been
Yeah,
great.
we're gonna have you back again.
Oh
Okay.
yeah. Sounds
Yay.
good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, good. Awesome.
All right. I think that's gonna do it for us, John. What do you think? We had a great time, huh?
We had a great time, and thanks everyone for listening in. And thank you, Lauren and Sosha, for participating and for all your commentary. It's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you all so much.
All right, Thomas, I think it's time to go ahead and cue that outro because I think we're done here. Much love to all of you, and please join us again next time on A Cuman Perspective. Peace out.